Said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And Lord, it is a joy and pleasure and privilege to be able to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we thank you today because this is the day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you now for your word as you speak to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I today want to encourage you in a faith teaching. As you know, we've had a couple of teachings about being restored back to our first love, and God really challenged us in this, which he's done, because he's looking to our hearts, he's looking to the motive. He's looking to them why we're even in this room today wanting to listen to his word. And today I'm calling this teaching, Faith Has to Be Revealed. Faith has to be revealed. We are never ever going to understand the word of God or even change by the word of God unless it's revealed to us. Now, we know that's nothing new to us, but what may be new today is that this is all a work of grace, and we need to know that we are hearing and seeing and believing this revelation that God is giving to us. None of us can rest on our laurels. None of us can be conceited. None of us can, well, because I listen and I go to full gospel assembly, therefore everything is fine and okay. It's not. We are each of us dependent upon God revealing each day himself, his word to us. Because that is how we grow in the faith. That is how we walk each day by faith. We read in the scriptures all the saints where God revealed himself to them in particular ways. Certainly we find this with Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and all of them, how God met with them from time to time, made his covenants with them, showed them more what he was going to do. Well, we now are baptized with the Holy Spirit, have the Holy Spirit, who's now our lead and guide and teacher. How much more are we dependent upon that, particularly in these last days that we live in, which are so devilish, where we're seeing the rapid falling away, how we need to be preserved, how we need to be hearing what God is saying to each of us. And what he will say to us will not be contrary to his word and the revelation of his word. So our teaching today, as I've said, is faith has to be revealed. And we're basing this from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. He says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of salvation for everyone who believes." The clue to this is in verse 17. "Because the just shall live by faith, and they live by faith because faith is revealed to them." And this is what throws us on the mercy and grace of God. The reason it could be that we are not always overcoming in faith and seeing the answers to faith is because it's not always being revealed. And there may be a hindrance why revelation is not being revealed. And again, I appeal to the parable of the sower. Are we having problems with sound? I'm seeing some people who don't have sound. Can you hear me all right? Okay, thank you. Thanks. Now, for us to believe, it's got to be revealed. And we know that this comes by hearing and reading the Word. This is why faith is essential for us to be able to not only believe, but to release that faith and have that faith in which it will please God. You see, faith has to be exercised daily. The same as we need to hear the Word of God regularly. The same as we need that relationship with Him, going before Him, reading His Word, listening to Him. It's, if you like, crudely putting it, a daily top-up. This is why we walk with God 24/7. It isn't just on Sunday or on Tuesday. Our whole life and walk is a separation to Him, walking daily in communing with Him. Faith isn't just for Sunday, which sadly is for so many professing Christians. It's an everyday moment walk with God. And this is why God was working with Israel and required Israel to mix faith with that which she heard. We know this in Hebrews chapter 4. The problem was with Israel that she didn't mix faith with that which she heard. Now, she probably was hearing. She heard. They listened to the teachers. They listened to Moses' teaching. But there was a problem involved. They were not mixing faith with it. And the reason that they didn't mix faith, and the reason that you have many today who don't mix faith, is because they don't hear revelation that comes with faith. And revelation cannot be found by flesh and blood. It's divinely given. It's our responsibility to act accordingly to what is revealed. It's our responsibility, if we have it's been day's word, then we have a responsibility in which upon that word. You see, the acts of our acts of faith have to be aware of our acts of faith. But God sees it, all the host of angels see it, and the devil sees it, and the world will see it from time to time. But our faith has to be active. We have to believe that the Lord is with us, preserving, keeping us. That our acts of faith are seen out by the fruit that you know them. This is why we live and walk by faith. We clearly see this, of course, in Hebrews 2 and verse 4. In Hebrews 2 and verse 4, which says, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every..." "God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." So their faith is seen. isn't it? God also bearing witness with those signs and wonders, with various miracles, gifts, the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So we should be recipients of that. We should be experiencing that. That should be working through my life, our life, also in Full Gospel Assembly. I'm showing this morning that faith has to be revealed, and in what we're seeing by faith, I'm just selecting out various workings of faith that should be seen in our lives and in the church. We're told that we are sanctified by faith. That sanctification means that faith has set me apart, in our case, unto Almighty God. We know this from Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18, he says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So faith sanctifies us. Faith, in other words, sets us apart for fellowship, to walk with him, that consecration. Faith will know. Faith will act accordingly to that, because we're told it brings us out of the power of Satan unto God. That's how our faith works. And so it's essential that we experience that, praise God. We're also told in Scripture, and I'm going to let a lot of the Scriptures speak this today, because I want to show how faith is working in your life. We have many, many teachings about faith, but sometimes we're not always aware of how it's actually working. And indeed, is it your experience? For example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, which we've already read earlier. But I want to bring this out again, because it's revealed to us. It's a revelation. And it's not contrary. It's not faith going off and doing its own thing. If faith is revealed, it's revealed according to the will of God, according to his word. And faith that's revealed to us is not something that brings us away from the unity and oneness that is found in the body of Christ. It all works together for the unity and oneness, for the love of God and for the love of the saints. It isn't contrary. It doesn't go against it, what God reveals. Faith in each of us, that degree, that measure of faith, is also to help to build the body of Christ and its witness, not to go against it. If anything or any saint is going against that, then one has to question what is being revealed to them. And we only know what is revealed to a saint or a ministry or minister is by testing it. 1 John 4. Testing what spirit is in operation. This is why I come back over and over again. Your woman is not with the natural carnal mind, the eye, the emotions, what you see. It is above that. We have to test these things to see what is in operation, because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and so on. We then see that faith also does something else in our lives. We see that faith accounts us as righteous before God. You see, faith has got to make us right in God's presence. You can confess the blood of Jesus, But unless you are made right, you are brought into his presence by faith, you can confess till the cows come home, and it will be of no effect. We have to be made right in God's presence, and that, of course, can only be through Jesus Christ, who reconciles us unto the Father. That is why we're seen not by us, but God sees us through his Son. He will only ever be able to see us in Christ. We are hid in him. We are now made one with him. For example, in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, we're talking about today what our faith does and has achieved. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So that is what it says. That was Romans 4 and verse 3 onwards. So we are made right. We're accounted as right by faith, not by feelings. Sometimes we wonder if we are Christian, but our faith says we are accounted, we are made right with God. I'm right with him. Therefore, if I'm right with him, I'm hid in him. My life is one with him. This is what he means. We're also to the world and to each other, everything, our whole witness, we are to be those of faith, those of the faith. We are to express to the world our fruit. Everything about us should reveal to the world and the powers of darkness that I am a man or woman who walks by faith. And in our case with the deeper life, it's a total faith he's bringing us to. This should be our witness. This is what should be seen to the world and to everyone, that I am a man or a woman who walks, lives by faith. We not only do that, but we also confess it, we preach it. It's our life, it's what we say. For example, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, Romans 10 verse 8, which says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, which we share, our testimony. All of this is absolutely vital. The reason that we don't have the testimonies and that we don't reveal the faith that we should, because we still see our faith as meeting my needs, my wants, my desires. A lot of our faith is still self-centered, and we're no use to God, because all we land up will just be is, look what God has done for me. Look how he has blessed me. Look how he has saved my family. Look how he has given me that big house, that big car and everything. And yes, you can have that, but that's all it will be reduced to. Unless we allow the Holy Spirit to put us to death by the cross that we take up daily to deal with that self-life, we would just be selfish beings. We won't have any message, because all the message that the world will hear is what's been done for you. There's enough of that that's around in the world today. We've got enough trumpeters out in the world there trumpeting away how blessed they are and what they've done and this lifestyle that they live. The world is filled with that, but sadly it's also in Christendom. God will not have that of us. If God is blessing you, most of the time it will not have to be advertised. It will be seen by the fruit and who live. Otherwise, if you just are in this walk just to be blessed and to bless that self-centeredness, you'll just become like an ornament set in a cabinet for show. And that's what it'll turn out to be. That's not what he's called us for. That is not what our faith is about. And you'll be very, very disappointed. Our faith is to make us real men and women, redeemed, born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in power and light. And that our faith is demonstrated, seen each day. And God will empower our words, and our words will have life, and will cause men and women to turn away from their sin. And you won't have to go up to people and ask them, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Jesus who lives in you will be that conviction. Your life, the way you live, will speak, will convict, will cause them to say, I want what you have. And you will always be able to appeal not to yourself, but to the life that lives in you, which is Almighty God. That is what the faith is about. That is the faith that needs to be revealed to us. And it comes by hearing. We're told, aren't we, that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. We're also told that we're to stand by faith. Romans 11 and verse 20. Romans 11 verse 20 tells us that we're to stand by faith. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. And so it goes on. So the writer says very clearly here, you stand by faith. And we have to settle on that. Some of us still fight against it. And that's why it can become difficult. That's why we lose our peace, our joy. Because we're still fighting by the fact that we have to stand by faith. That's how God has ordained it. That's why you have to let go and get out of the way. And let God be God over our lives. As I've said many, many times, and I'll say it again. Whatever God does in your life, your flesh, your pride, if it's still there, will not like it. It is always contrary. We just have to accept that. Because God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We're also told, aren't we, in 2 Corinthians 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. This again is a working that God is working with us. We're all a work in progress, if you like. He's still getting our footsteps to be ordained and to walk by faith, so that we come to this place where we're not shocked anymore, where we're not called off guard, or we fall off our perch, so to speak, because of our trials and tribulations or something that happens. Yes, it's not nice, I'm not saying it is, but the fact is, it doesn't knock my faith. It doesn't stop me from believing in the love and grace and mercy of God. If anything, the trials are to make us even more devout, more faithful, more determined, and so on. That's what faith should do. And that is why God does allow these trials to come along our path, to simply do that, to show that he is faithful. Because as we're shown, and we're becoming aware of it more and more, Everything around us is crumbling. Everything we hear is being shaken. We're probably getting to the point now where nothing shocks us anymore by the news or what goes on. These are all signs of the times, brothers and sisters. And it's a big indication. Do not put your trust in any of it. In nothing. And I'll even say, don't even put your trust in insurances. Because even people are finding they're letting them down. Why, a friend of mine recently was hit by another driver, and it was clearly their fault, trying to overtake and ramming them in the side by doing it. That driver is contesting his insurance. They're contesting it. And it's, so they're going to get, what they like to do now is just settle for a 50-50. Clearly their fault. Again, these are all signs to us. Don't trust any of it. Don't trust the arm of the flesh. There's only one you can trust, and that's the faithfulness of Almighty God. And our trust in his word. Now, of course, I'm not saying now, having just given that testimony, that you no longer have a driving license, insurance, because you have to by law. But there's a lot of things that we're trusting in that we don't have to have, and we're doing it because it's still fear, it's still coming, because it's not yet revealed to us. So don't go out and start doing things stupidly because you've heard a message. What you have to do, and your honesty before God, is this revealed to me? Have I had this revealed? Do I know this in my heart? Because faith has to be in the heart. Otherwise, if it's not in the heart, the enemy can get in. And this is where, sadly, we have seen steps of faith sometimes gone very wrong, and it doesn't glorify God. So we need to know that faith is revealed, it's there, it's in my heart, I don't doubt it. That's what he's bringing us to. But we are to walk by faith. We're told also that we, in the flesh, we live by faith. Now that's a great help, because we know how strong the flesh can be and how the enemy uses the flesh. Let's turn to something we know very, very well, but I make no apology for turning to it, in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, of which he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And here it is. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Who? In the Son of God. Who? Who lives in me through the cross. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So I am motivated. I do this not because of what I've just read in the first part in verse 19. I do this because he gave for me, and who loved me. And I have been so touched. I have been so changed. It has been so radical in my life. The love of God, who first loved me, who gave himself for me, therefore, that motivates me to walk by faith, by the way of the cross, to deal with the flesh life. That's how you'll get that right. You won't get it right if you read the first part, but you'll get it right when you read the whole of that verse and the latter part, why he gave himself to us, to me, his love, so that I can walk the crucified life. That's what balances it. That's what makes it real, you see, brothers and sisters. And it comes right back at the end of the day. We have to be touched God's love if we're ever to obey, to yield and do these things. It will never work otherwise. And that can only be revealed by faith. Hallelujah. And so we find, in accordance to that, that by faith, he lives in us. He walks in us. He moves through us. He speaks through us. That's what it's all about. We're like Abraham. That's why we're sons of Abraham, the sons and daughters of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 7. Here it is, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And look how God perfected Abraham's faith. And that's what he's doing ultimately with us. And we're going to find, like Abraham, our faith will be tested. He's going to bring us to plateaus and areas of our faith where we're going to have to offer up our spiritual Isaac in faith and obedience. That's what he's required from us. And we can all run away from it and pretend and be like those ostriches putting our heads in the sand. But if we want to walk with God, he is going to test. And it's in those testings that we then know our faith is genuine. And not just hot air and all talk. We're told, aren't we, in Ephesians also, we're talking about faith. Faith has to be revealed to us. We're also shown that there is only one faith. There's no other faith. Ephesians 4 and verse 5 tells us this. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we put our ears and heart and mind and whole being to one message, one faith, one God. And of course we know nowadays that there are many, many messages of faith, different faiths. But the Bible is absolutely categorical. There's only one. And as a result of that, some of us can and will face persecution because we believe there is only one faith, one belief, one God, one way to the Father through Jesus Christ. And that is costing us to believe that, to confess that, and walk by that. We're also told in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, that faith is to work. So if we're receiving the deeper life teaching, we're receiving faith, there's something we should say, my faith must work. Look to the pastor, don't look to your brother or sister and say, well, why isn't their faith working? Because you will have many fingers pointing back at you. Well, about your faith, is your faith working? And as we always know, it starts first with me. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. So he says, remembering this, he says, your work of faith without ceasing, that labor of love, patience, hope in the Lord, all these things that we go through and are going through, endurance, waiting, patience for the Lord, for the promises of God to be revealed and so forth. Exactly the same there. This again shows faith in work, in operation. We then have another aspect of faith which is revealed to us. And we've had much about this over the last few years, but our warfare by faith, that shield of faith that we're told that we have, Let's look at this quickly in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It is called the shield of faith. Now, if you don't fully understand what that shield of faith is, you're never going to understand spiritual warfare. And this is why so many believers, Christians, are blinded to spiritual warfare, because they aren't in faith as they should be. Therefore, their shield, which is of faith, is a hindrance, or is not working, or they have not allowed the Holy Spirit to train them how to use that shield. And that shield, of course, as we know by Roman armory, was a shield that covered them totally from head to foot. They were probably about 5-6 foot tall, these shields, against the fiery darts. Do you know by faith you have that shield? Is it revealed to you? Remember, faith is revealed. Is it your experience? Because if it is, you're going to start to take this seriously. You will find yourself moving more and more into your prayers and intercessions into warfare, because you will see what you are really fighting against. We still rest too much on our laurels in this area. There's still some who don't see this yet in this assembly. And you need to ask yourself, why am I not seeing this? Why am I not entering into this? Hearing this, but there could be a problem. It's not being revealed to me. This is paramount in this time now that we're living as overcomers, particularly with FGA. There are strong powers being directed against us in the natural. And we need our eyes to be open to see on that's trying to stop the man child from being born, birth. And we note where the enemy is with regard to that in Revelation 12, right there, trying to abort it, trying to devour it as soon as it's born. Satan has been given the closest access to the overcomers. And God is allowing that for a reason, so that we can be perfected by our faith, by our love. That's why God's allowing this. It's no good crying to God, oh, get him off my back or whatever. We know from Revelation 12, he has that access. He is there close to this. He still has authority. And it is, as I just said, it's training us for the battle. God's using this. Now I'm going to say it again. Is this being revealed to you? Or is this just what you hear through the pastor? This must be your experience, if we want this unity and oneness in this body. And it's appropriated, yes, you've guessed it, by faith. Because we're told that without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. Unbelief is sin before God. And we deal with it. We don't try and cover it over or whatever it is. I was not believing, Lord. I was in unbelief at this point. Forgive me, have mercy. And I know that I will be tried again in this. It will come again. And our heart's desire is, Lord, that I overcome, I succeed. I come to that place of faith, trusting, believing. But our faith stopped there. We're talking about faith is being revealed to us. We're told that our faith must indeed minister to the needs in the church or wherever around that they may be. We know this from James chapter 5 and verse 15. James chapter 5, verse 15. Now, actually, we'll take it from verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders or the church, and let them pray over, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them, and if sin be forgiven. And it goes on about confessing also your transgressions and trespasses and so on. Praying one for another. This is where we get healed. But none of that is any good unless we believe. We're in faith. I would have a lot of respect from a saint who says, I'm sorry, I can't pray that prayer with you all today because I'm not in faith. I'm not in faith believing that my brother or sister will be healed or raised up. I'll go out of the room. I'm a hindrance to your prayers. I would have great regard and respect for that, including myself. Because no way would I want to be a hindrance in unbelief when somebody is going through a serious illness or whatever it is. Because it's so important that they are raised up, that our faith is seen. But how many of us take that seriously? We don't. Well, God knows and everything. I tell you, God is meaning business with FGA. He really is. I know he's meaning business with me. We're also told that we add to our faith. So faith is progressive. It's always moving forward. It must be fed and nourished, the same as we must be. And we get an indication of this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And it goes on, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and so on. So we see he's always moving forward in growth. Because it's a fruit. It's developing. And so faith must be added. There's more revelation that's revealed with regard to faith. So our faith, as I bring this to a conclusion, and I'm sure you can add much more to this. I've just brought out some of the areas that I see. Our faith is working, but we can see many, many more aspects of where faith is needful to work and how it needs to be revealed. But I think I've shown enough today in this teaching. But our faith is greater than just our daily needs, or our loved ones, or my rebellious son, or whatever it is. Yes, that's all part of it. But Jesus said to us, take no thought about that. He shows us the birds, the animals in the field and everything. They don't worry about where their food's coming or whatever it is. God's trying to get us away from juvenile things. He's moving us onwards, upwards, to greater things. And when we see these greater things, we find 9 times out of 10, they're nothing to do with us, my self-centeredness and what I want. It's beginning to embrace the kingdom. It's seeing the bigness of God's church. It's being upward looking, outward, heavenly minded. It's time to move away. It's time to take our eyes off this world. It's time to get ready because The bride is soon ready. She's going to be called away when that sound comes, come up, and that trumpet call. Will we be ready? The question I'm going to leave today, and only you can answer this, is faith being revealed to me? Have I seen, has it been revealed today, this word, everything that I need to know and more? Only you can answer that question. Hallelujah. I trust that you do. I trust that you have seen this, not through flesh and blood, not through the fact that you've been offended or hurt, but that you received this as God's engrafted word to us, the word of eternal life that gives us faith to stand, to endure, to act, to believe, everything and more. We're still learning how great faith is, how powerful it is, how it changes us. It's the power of God revealed to us as we believe upon his gospel, that great good news. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we've been aware how he has tried to attack. He's made it very clear he's not like this word, but it's a word of deliverance. It's a word that is going to change us and make us more like Jesus. To have a faith like he had that just simply believed. Lord, it's not going to be a faith where it's a hit and miss. It might happen or might not. Those days are finished. You're bringing us now to a consecration, a level of faith where when we speak, it will come to pass. Because it will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be nothing to do about us. And that's the whole point of it. Father, I thank you for the way you bring us together, Lord, under one banner, and how you feed us, and how you open our eyes to the truth of your word, and how true it is that faith comes by hearing, reading that word. Lord, our heart's desire is that we are changed people every time we come into your presence. We no longer want to be what we were 24 hours ago, or 2 weeks ago, or a year ago. My coming to this meeting, my hearing this word, my opening my heart, my believing is going to make me more like Jesus. That is all we live for, look for, long for, and experience. Yesterday is history. Its past is gone. It's today, the now. So Lord, have your way in our lives. We are on that altar. We've given our all. We've laid ourselves there. And like those grapes, they have to be crushed in which to bring the juice out of them, that sweet juice. And so likewise, we have to be crushed. We have to do that work in the flesh in order for that fruit to flow. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow.